improve if you learn to keep your mouth shut, Jason laughed. You're second, Jason, Gregory added. Now focus.
The late morning turned to early afternoon by the time Gregory called a halt to the sparring. He'd beaten the lieutenants twice with the Naginata, once with the Guandao, and then finally once with the Wakizashi each. The smaller sword was the hardest for him to get wins with, but he still did so against all three men. Some of the sergeants had turned up during the spars, and Gregory gave each a turn with the Guandao. It wasn't his best weapon, but he was still far better with it than the Wakizashi. The men not on duty had been making small bets during the whole event. None on who'd win, but on how long each fight would last or the type of finishing blow.
We're done, Gregory called. Good job, men.
Sir?
One of the guards raised his hand.
I'm sorry, I know you're in Yuki's unit, but not your name.
Clannam, sir. May we all have a go?
Gregory let the Guandao vanish into his ring, pulling his Naginata back out.
All of you at once. I won't use foresight, but I will use physical enhancement to speed myself up.
The 20 normal guards exchanged glances before the majority walked forward. The few who hadn't moved right away joined in a moment later. That was when the few sergeants joined the group, then finally the three lieutenants.
28 against one, Gregory nodded slowly. Normal sparring rules apply. We don't have a healer here, so be mindful of yourself. If you get badly injured, we'll help you with some alchemy items until Mindy returns later tonight. Are there any questions?
Just one, sir.
Davis grinned.
Do we even have a chance?
Yes, there's always a chance, Davis,
Gregory said evenly, but then a smirk grew on his lips.
It's just a terrible chance.
Men, we fight to liberate the embassy from a tyrant,
Davis said.
If you die here today, we will raise cups in your name for the victory we will find.
Gregory laughed at the theatrics.
You dare to seek to topple me? I will have your heads.
Charge!
Davis yelled. The ensuing fight was fun for everyone involved. It was serious enough that everyone was mindful of their allies and the fight, but silly enough that even when they were killed, the men fell over laughing. In the end, Gregory was the last one standing, but his left arm was at his side. Max had managed to get enough of an attack that Gregory ruled his own arm out. But even down an arm, he'd just switched to the Wakizashi and finished the last few men with it.
Ha ha! Wounded, but victorious!
Gregory laughed, raising his weapon in the air.
Killed by the tyrant in the end,
Davis laughed from the ground.
Get cleaned up,
Gregory said as he let his ring take his sword. He held out his hands to the two closest guards.
It was a good fight. Thank you for the training, sir,
Max said as he got up.
We appreciate it,
Jason added.
Pushing yourself to improve is always good,
Gregory said.
I'm glad I had the time. I'll see you all at dinner.
Yes, sir,
Davis said. He and everyone else saluted him. Gregory returned it before he headed for the embassy. While the men would use the barracks baths, he would use the one inside the embassy. It was only a few hours before dinner, so bathing now would be fine, and he wanted to get the sweat off from sparring.
Good afternoon, Rafik,
Gregory greeted the archivist.
Good afternoon, Gregory.
Rafik smiled.
Come in. I have the board set up already, and I've made some tea. I'm glad you asked me this morning, as it made it far easier to arrange things ahead of time.
I thought it might. How have you been?
Gregory asked, taking the seat that had been offered to him.
Fairly good. I've been arranging the records into a better system. It'll make it easier for future ambassadors to find anything they need to find. Organization and accessibility can make a huge difference.
I had wondered what Rudita tasked you with. Is that all you've been doing?
No. I also have plenty of time to myself to read. It's let me delve into many books made in Kroga. Makar has been kind enough to arrange for me to get new ones as needed too. I've been setting aside ones that the Archive doesn't have to send to Serenia, or at least the ones that wouldn't cause too much trouble. The more problematic ones can't be shipped.
They'd have to be hand-delivered,
Gregory said, understanding what Rafik meant without him saying it.
The risk would be high if the person was caught with them, but yes.
Rafik dipped his snout with a nod.
You may begin.
Gregory placed his tile on the go board.
I'm sure we'll have to discuss the budding second affinity I have after a few games.
They will go into my notes, but those won't be sent until summer. Twice a year is the normal cycle for dispatches. They go out with a ship until they reach a friendly port with spatial magi.
Oh, like Vicky's posting?
Coverton is closer to Baldoon than Kroga, but yes, the Empire does and have many ports with Lamaze to the south of it. They have the ones that were captured during wars with both nations, back between the First and Second Yurtic Wars. It was the last time the Emperor himself took to the field of battle.
Because without a port, we'd be entirely dependent on our neighbors for some goods. The Han and Swift Wind clans were instrumental in those victories. They also had the greatest reason to take ports. Yamato Shipping slowly took that power as their own just after the Second War, when the Emperor demanded more people from the great clans. By the time things settled, Yamato had a stranglehold on the ports. They've maintained that hold ever since. It's what gives them so much of their power in the Empire.
Correct, Rafik chuckled. I enjoy speaking with you and your wives. Few fresh Magusis have ever taken the time to study the way you do. Even those on the mind paths normally focus their learning on specific topics. All of you cast a wide net to learn as much as you can, then share that knowledge with each other.
I miss the simpler days of the Academy sometimes, Gregory said, but I wouldn't give up my life here for them.
Your wives would be disappointed if you did.
I would be too, Gregory chuckled, though I have wondered what would have happened if Yuki hadn't allowed Jen into our family. That was the catalyst for all the others.
Many wonder about the what-ifs. It is a common pastime for Magi. With longer lives comes more time for reflection.
Yeah, I do know that Jen would have joined the Iron Hand clan and have held a grudge against us. My foresight gave me a glimpse of that future back then.
She is no doubt far happier today with how things happened.
I'd like to think so. I can't imagine life without her in the family.
The words of a happy husband,
Rafik chuckled.
I know I can't think of a life without my heart.
I look forward to bringing you back to her in the future.
It will be years yet, but I am eager for that day.
They lapsed into silence, just enjoying the game, tea, and company. Gregory was there when his wives came into the suite.
Welcome home.
Before they could go into details about their day, he got hugs and kisses from each of them. They took seats in the front room to talk. Gregory was sandwiched between Yukiko and Jen when everyone was settled.
It was a good day, Yukiko said. We went shopping, stopped for food twice, walked through a garden, and had tea in a cafe run by a Baldoon native.
It was a different garden, one that Lita prefers,
Mindy jumped in.
The flowers there are medicinal in nature and attached to an alchemist shop. The owner enjoys people walking in the garden. He says he's glad that the flowers can make people smile.
He's a sweet old man, Clover said. Very friendly. He invited me back when he found out that I do alchemy.
Is he a priest? Gregory asked.
Nope. Just an alchemist who handles non-aether-touched goods,
Clover said.
Shopping was entertaining, Roshana snickered. Every shop was shocked to have so many priests and friends. Yuki haggled for everyone, impressing Virka with her ability to get the best deal.
Yukiko grinned.
It was amusing to see the looks on everyone's faces when I was able to politely haggle. A couple of the other ladies worried that I'd act like a magi when I suggested I do the haggling. Virka spoke up for me, so they allowed it. By the time we'd finished at the first shop, they were all too happy to let me continue haggling for the day.
For good reason. You saved them a lot of money,
Ling chuckled.
They got more value out of their money than they would have without you.
She's gifted,
Gregory chuckled, giving Yukiko a squeeze since he had his arm around her waist.
No problems?
None,
Jen said. I don't count the few men brave enough to approach us. They were respectful when we turned them down, which was a pleasant surprise.
I'm glad you all had a good day.
We did, but we need to go bathe before bed,
Yukiko sighed.
Will you come with us, our soul? We'd all welcome you scrubbing our backs.
Ooh, and tails,
Clover added quickly.
Ears too, please,
Mindy giggled. We'd each like a scrubbing, Jen snickered. They had so many questions about you. Gregory coughed at the implication.
Many questions,
Yukiko grinned.
We'll explain while we bathe.
Since everyone was getting up, Gregory stood up with them.
I'm sure it had to do with me having so many wives.
And how we could all be happy,
Mindy said.
Satisfied. The question was how we could all be satisfied,
Ling clarified, smiling.
Ah, I see.
Gregory was blushing as he trailed them to the door.
I hope the conversation wasn't too detailed.
Not deeply detailed, no.
Yukiko smirked. Gregory just shook his head. He loved all of them, even when they were being difficult to get a reaction from him.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Now, who's getting cleaned first?
Chapter 26. Over the next couple of weeks, the family trained, did their jobs, and spent their evenings enjoying each other. Gregory and Jen continued to switch off days at the honor duels. There were no more deaths, though Jen had to subdue a youth who turned out to be a berserker. Since he wasn't a champion, she did so easily enough by overpowering him and knocking him out. Gregory spent the days he wasn't dueling with one or two of his wives. He tried learning their magic, but also helping them with any other tasks they had. While he hadn't grasped anything yet, the shadows were starting to feel more comfortable to him. He couldn't weave them like Yukiko, but he thought he would be able to before too long. The Shadow Leap Ring stayed with him, even though he knew that in time that wouldn't explain away what he'd be able to do. He'd have to be extra careful once he could manifest shadows on his own. The afternoons he came back from the duels, Gregory sparred with the lieutenants and off-duty sergeants. Rafik would come out and help Gregory with his physical enhancement training beside Jen at times, too. Those days, they always had a crowd of off-duty guards who'd spectate.
It almost feels like it's my birthday, Gregory chuckled weakly. Sated now, Clover?
Clover let out a happy noise once she'd finished swallowing.
Yes, thank you so much.
I really think I should be the one thanking you. Our wives are waiting for us, so if you're ready, we should get dressed. If my legs will work.
Clover giggled as she pounced on him, hugging him tightly.
Thank you, Greg. I worry that my desire might be too much at times. You've never complained, and our wives don't either, even though I can get, pushy.
He wrapped her in his arms, holding her to his chest and kissing the top of her head.
We all have our needs and wants. None of us would ever complain, though one of them might ask you to hold off so they can have some fun first. It'd be just like Ling did last night.
Clover snickered.
That's true, but I do what they ask of me because I know they'll make me happy later.
We all love you, our dear exuberant wife.
I'm glad. Sometimes I worry that I'm too eager.
We all have those moments of self-doubt and worry, Gregory said gently. I worry about not being enough for all of you. Can I keep you all happy?
Clover lifted her head to meet his eyes.
You do.
He kissed her nose.
And you aren't too exuberant. Even if you are very eager.
Clover giggled, then buried her face into his chest again.
Oh, love you.
I love you too. From your toes all the way up to the tips of your ears.
He kissed the tip of one when he finished speaking. Clover shivered, then eased off him and out of the bed.
Furk is going to join us for my birthday. I like her, Greg. I know what we've talked about, but I like her for her.
She's easy to talk to,
Gregory said, watching Clover climb out of bed. Her squirrel tail waving above her back was entrancing to him. Clover paused when she finally stood up. Looking back, she smiled brightly.
I guess I really did drain you today.
And I thank you for it,
Gregory chuckled, then started to get out of bed.
Furka, it's good to see you again,
Gregory greeted her.
Thank you all for inviting me. Furka grinned. Happy birthday, Clover.
Clover's eyes were wide as she accepted the small pouch from Furka.
A present? For me?
Of course. I am intruding on your special day, so it's only fair that I bring a gift.
Clover opened the bag to see the contents.
Is this?
Astra petals,
Furka said. They're useful in many different alchemy concoctions.
They're so hard to get!
Just expensive, Furka smiled. Normally, that is. I've had two pots for years. When I had to trim them this time, I had a friend come in to make sure they were done correctly. Then I saved them for you. Clover launched herself into Furka's arms, hugging the much larger woman.
Oh, thank you!
Furka smiled as she hugged Clover back. You're welcome, my friend. One of the men on gate duty shifted in shock, the sound of his armor reminding Clover where she was. Disengaging, Clover backed up but was still wearing a big smile.
Thank you.
Her ring had absorbed the bag to keep it safe when she'd hugged Furka so that none of the petals were lost.
We're off to Clean Waters first,
Yukiko said. Of course, Furka grinned. What about after that?
A light lunch at the cafe you showed us,
Mindy said. Wonderful!
Then we'll be going to the tea house,
Mindy said as the group walked. Furka bowed her head. Thank you.
After that, we'll do a garden walk, then go to dinner,
Yukiko said, picking the topic back up. Sounds like a full day. I couldn't ask for anything more.
I can't either,
Clover grinned.
My day started off in the best possible way!
Gregory blushed as his wives snickered. Furka's gaze slid over to Gregory, her lips twisting into a knowing smirk. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the best,
Clover said dreamily.
Let's mind where we are,
Yukiko gently chided Clover.
Right, sorry, Yuki.
The bath was refreshing. Clover got scrubbed down by everyone and then massaged by them all before finally joining them in the tub. Gregory carried her over, as she was a puddle of happiness by the end. She was fine by the time they called the bath done, but her smile never wavered from joyous. Lunch was good, with the conversations being light and carefree. Gregory made a note to see about bringing his wives back to the cafe later. The food was tasty, and it would provide a more romantic feeling than the other places they'd eaten. When lunch ended, the conversations tapered off as they headed for the tea house. With eight of them, they had to split into two separate rooms. Gregory ended up with Clover, Ling, and Roshana, while Yukiko, Jen, and Mindy were with Furka. Gregory didn't ask or question why Yukiko wanted it split that way. He just accepted it. He was doubtful that they'd have a vision together, but he at least hoped to see darkness. As he drank the tea, he found himself in the lost bedroom. Darkness was sitting in her corner, dressed in the same kimono she'd shown them before. Her smile was wide when she saw him, matching the one he had when he appeared beside the bed.
Hello, my dark heart.
It's good to see you again, my soul, Darkness whispered. We do not have long, and I would not have appeared to you yet, but Vicky asked me to pass along a message.
Go ahead, Gregory said, suddenly worried. Is she okay?
They have had their challenges, but are perfectly well physically and mentally. Vicky has had the toughest time of it. The port's magi has been unwelcoming of her. She does everything perfectly, so he has not had anything to nitpick her on, but he is trying.
Oh, I hope she'll be okay.
She should be, but she is worried about shipping. There have been a lot of missing ships since she got to the posting. It is one of the things that is causing the older magi to lash out more than normal. She thinks the shipping issue will affect national relationships, so she wanted you to know.
Pass my love to her, and my hopes that she stays safe.
I will, my heart.
I did have a question since you are here. When I regain more of my power, would I be able to invoke a spark in someone who didn't have it before?
Darkness was quiet for a long moment before she sighed.
Yes, you can infuse aether into another. In fact, you used to be the only one who could. You showed the others how to do it, so they could as well, but only directed toward their own focuses.
That's how champions are made, if they don't have the spark already.
Yes. The High Priest can instill physical enhancement magic into someone using the ritual that you taught Krog.
Okay. That's a lot to take in.
It is time for me to go. But enjoy this vision of a likely future, my heart.
Gregory blinked when the bedroom vanished and he found himself in a tent. Claudia and Verka were smiling brightly at him, each wearing rings that matched his wife's rings.
I think we've waited long enough. Don't you?
Claudia asked with lustful eyes.
Oh, yes. Much too long, Verka murmured as she reached for her clothing. Husband, don't hold back. Please, husband. The third voice came from behind Gregory. He didn't get a chance to glance back before the vision vanished. Bowing to the priest who served them tea, he followed the others down the path toward the gate. The third voice gave him some context clues, as the accent had been thickly Lamazian. That meant it wasn't someone he knew yet, but he would clearly meet her in time. The whole group was silent until they reached the gardens. Once they arrived, Clover practically burst as she started talking.
Oh my goodness! It was so sweet and amazing! I can't wait for that day to happen!
The others laughed at Clover being herself. Ling was the next person to speak.
The vision I had was of our much larger family all cuddling. Even our princess across the world was there, as was Verka.
Verka's smile was bright. Mine was of my wedding, but I know it was years distant. It's fine, and I can accept that. We have to be safe for the family.
Well said, Verka,
Yukiko said.
Mine was of a much closer future, where I agree to give you a special present. As of today, I fully accept you as ready to marry into the family, even if the ceremony must wait.
Oh, that would explain my vision,
Mindy murmured, her face scarlet. Yukiko gave Mindy a crooked smile.
I'm sure it does. And mine was someone was gently binding me in silks,
Rishana added with a happy smirk.
Aw, I wish I had a vision like that, Jen sighed. Mine showed me that Yuki and I would be seeing Claudia again.
That got everyone to focus on her.
It's in the master tier, so it's after this posting.
Yukiko's lips pursed, but she nodded.
I see. They can't let us all stay together past this. Spending time with Claudia is good on many counts.
What about you, Greg?
Clover asked.
We'll have to talk about some of it later. My vision showed me Claudia and Verka both looking a bit eager for activities.
Gregory was a little red when he tried to find a way to say it politely.
But then a third voice behind me called out. I didn't get to see who it was, but she was Lamazian. Her accent was very strong.
Yukiko nodded.
I thought that might happen.
You did?
Gregory asked.
Greg, look at our family,
Yukiko said.
Me, Jen, and Mindy, Ling, Clover, and Rishana, Nessa, Dasiana, and Vicky, but Claudia and Verka didn't have another that we knew about. There's one person of power and prestige in Buldoon. Verka, here in Praga, fits that same mold. That left only the North, or Lamaze, and out of the two, I thought Lamaze was far more likely.
We've all thought it might be that way, Ling said. But we were torn on whether she would be an elf, a Foliatic, or someone from Lamaze. Those were the options we considered.
Oh, I didn't know this was a topic you've all discussed,
Gregory said.
We talk a lot,
Rishana smiled.
It helps all of us keep things in balance.
Good wives are like that, Verka smiled. They try to think of everything.
Okay, Gregory exhaled. I was worried about telling you.
As long as they're dedicated to you, we'll give them a chance,
Yukiko said.
Oh, I'm glad my wives are understanding.
Even our future wives are,
Mindy giggled. She slipped back to take Verka's hand.
Aren't you? Very understanding,
Verka laughed. Chapter 27. For dinner, they ended up at Mother Anna's kitchen. It was busy, and got even busier a minute after they arrived.
What did I say?
Ragnar laughed as he came striding in.
Here she is.
Gregory looked over his shoulder to find Ragnar leading a group toward them.
Ragnar, you were looking for us?
I was looking for my sister, Ragnar grinned. Said she was spending the day with a friend for their birthday. My sister loves the food here, and I figured this is where she'd end up.
The others who'd been just about finished dropped coins on the table and got up. They shook hands with Ragnar and his friends, giving them room to sit with the group. Ragnar thanked each man and woman who did, speaking with them while his friends sat down. Jen gave Erica Rickadotter a hug as the champion came to the table.
How have you been?
Busy. We're getting close to time for the raids, Erica said.
Donik Volgason coughed loudly at that.
Shouldn't talk about that.
Probably for the best,
Yukiko said.
We don't know for certain that you're raiding the Empire. There's no reason to strain a good day with unpleasantness.
Exactly.
Donik clapped his hand to his chest to salute Yukiko, but then he looked at Mindy.
Healer, it is good to see you again.
Mindy gave him a polite smile.
Have you been well?
As well as I can be when I get beaten every day.
Donik laughed.
Either Verka here or Alexidotter is normally on hand to patch me up. Oh, they aren't bad wounds,
Ragnar said, slinging an arm over Donik's shoulder.
Says the man who barely takes a scratch.
Donik snorted with a wry smile.
Gregory, I doubt we'll have another spar before the raids,
Ragnar said, letting go of Donik to shake hands with Gregory.
A pity for me, but I'm sure I'll find someone worth testing me on the raid.
Probably, Gregory agreed. I'll have to keep training so when you return, we can see how keen your edge has become.
Ragnar laughed as he moved down to take a seat.
You already know me so well.
What is the noise? Oh, Iverson. I should have known.
Mother Anna started before sighing and changing her tone.
When it gets loud but isn't trouble, it's always you.
Ragnar got back to his feet with a broad smile on his face.
Mother Anna, thank you for allowing me back into your home once more.
A smile came to her lips unbidden.
You are a handful at the best of times. Don't go disturbing my guests.
Never.
Ragnar laughed, then walked up to her. He took her hand in his, holding it between his hands.
Your home is a place I cherish. I would fight to my last breath to defend these walls.
Mother Anna blushed deeply, looking away from Ragnar.
Oh, go on, you.
Anna laughed, taking her hand back.
Go sit. Food will be out shortly.
As you decree,
Ragnar said, slamming his fist to his chest. Touching her hair lightly, Mother Anna retreated to the kitchen, her cheeks still burning.
Isn't she married?
Ling asked the table. Widowed, Verka said softly. Her husband led Ragnar's first raid.
Ragnar killed dozens, but he wasn't there fast enough to save him,
Donik said.
He carried him from the field to the healers, burning his flame the entire way.
He cried that night, Erica whispered. He doesn't cry often.
Enough of that,
Ragnar said as he took his seat again.
Anna is a blessing to this nation. If me making her feel like a young woman makes her happy, I will spend days doing just that.
Oh, there are ways to make her feel like a young woman,
Verka giggled.
Ew.
I don't need that image in my head.
Ugh, Erica said. Donik laughed, and the others joined him at Erica's overacting shudder. Stev brought their drinks out.
Ragnar, good to see you again. I wanted to ask.
No, Stev,
Ragnar sighed.
I promised your mother. I'm sorry, but I won't go against that promise.
The young man grimaced, setting the drinks down.
Fine.
The word was tight with anger, but he didn't lash out.
You know he'll ask another besides us,
Donik said softly.
She can't keep him here.
Ragnar picked up his mug.
I know, but I failed her husband. I won't have her son with me and not bring him home. That would split my attention on the field when I'll need...
Erica slapped Ragnar's shoulder to cut him off.
We know.
When Ragnar looked her way, she spoke softly, looking toward the kitchen.
Ask Vladis. He'll be on the edge, unlikely to see the worst of it. That'll keep him as safe as anyone on a raid can be.
Ragnar drained his mug in a single long pull before slamming it onto the table.
Another!
I'm not sure I should say anything, Jen said. Has anyone spoken to Anna about him asking?
I did once, Verka sighed. That was a couple of years ago. She might have mellowed on the idea since then.
She stood up.
Excuse me. Keep him out here.
Stev came back with another full tray of mugs, setting most of them in front of Donik and Ragnar. His lips were a thin line as he did his job without speaking.
Stev, Erica said. Wait. I have no promises to your mother. I can't bring you into my group, but I can ask a friend.
It might not be the thick of the raid, but he would likely take you. Stev had turned to face her with anger, but as she spoke, hope began to fill his eyes.
You would?
I would, but I can't,
Ragnar said softly.
I'm sorry. If...
He trailed off, then drained another mug before setting it on the table gently.
I just can't.
But I can, and I'm not against doing so, Eric said. Will she ban me if I do?
Stev paused, glancing toward the doorway to the kitchen. He exhaled slowly, then shrugged.
I don't know. It is our way to fight, Donick said. Give us your word, on your honor, that you will do your best to make it home. If you do, I will join Erica when she goes to ask.
Stev stood upright, as straight as he could, slapping his right fist over his heart.
On my name, my honor, and my life.
Verka came out of the kitchen, giving the table a small nod. Erica saw the nod, and a smile came to her.
Tomorrow morning, be ready to come with me. He'll want to see you. Bring your gear. You'll have to earn your spot.
Yes, ma'am,
Stev said firmly.
Stev! Food!
His sister called from the doorway.
Coming!
Stev was all smiles as he rushed to help.
Gregory,
Ragnar said thickly, watching Stev's back.
Will he come home?
Gregory exhaled as he grabbed foresight and pushed. Since Stev wasn't going to be with Ragnar, it was easy enough to see the future for him. It was going to be summer when Stev returned. The young man was missing two fingers and had a few nasty scars on his cheeks, but he carried himself proudly. The reunion between Stev and his mother brought tears to Gregory's eyes. The tears Gregory shed made somberness fall over the table, as they all feared the worst.
He loses his last two fingers on his right hand and has some bad scars on his face, but he comes home,
Gregory whispered as he let go of the future.
His mother welcomes him home with kisses.
But...
Donick started to ask about the tears, but cut off when Yukiko grabbed Gregory, pulling his head to her shoulder.
Dearest, it's okay,
Yukiko said gently, stroking his hair. Is he okay? Verka whispered to Mindy, who was beside her. Gregory's mother died when he was young, Jen said, reaching behind Yukiko to rub his back. A mother's love is something that touches his heart. Ragnar bowed his head.
A wounded heart is always a good reason to let tears flow. My condolences, Gregory. Let your wives soothe you. None here will judge you. If they do, I will deal with them.
Mother Anna, her daughter, and Stev all brought out the food to the table. Seeing Gregory crying, the trio slowed, but still set the table for them. Stev and young Anna went back to the kitchen, but Mother Anna stayed behind to explain the food. Her eyes kept going to Gregory, surprised that a Magi would cry in public. When she'd finished, Gregory had calmed enough to meet her gaze.
Mother Anna, might I have a moment?
Yes?
Mother Anna asked uncertainly. He beckoned her closer as he lowered his voice.
Not all futures come to be, but many see your son returning home to you. He is wounded, but proud. When you greet him, he promises to never go raiding again.
Mother Anna stared at Gregory for a long moment.
Is that why you were crying, Magi?
He only loses two fingers and has some scars on his face,
Gregory said quickly, trying to comfort her.
Then why the tears?
Gregory exhaled as he met her eyes.
I wish my mother was alive to do the same when I finally returned home.
The pain in his gaze touched her, and she stepped in to touch his head gently.
Thank you. I'm sorry for your loss. It isn't much, Magi, but you will always be welcome here. Thank you for reassuring me about my boy.
Gregory felt tears flow again as a mother touched him with kindness. He bowed his head, letting Yukiko draw him back to her. Anna sniffled, then went to the kitchen. She had a son to hug and then chide to make sure the Magi's future did come true.
Chapter 28.
Good morning, Radit,
Gregory said when he entered her office.
Good morning to you, Gregory. What do you have to tell me today?
The day is fairly calm. I shadow you all day, as you request. The only bump is Ambassador Clearwind coming by to speak about trade.
Why is that a bump?
Shipping near our shared border has been poor. He's hoping you can get more information on anything pertinent about it.
The ambassador in their capital would have more luck than I would.
True. However, the White Eagle Magi there doesn't care to help them.
Rudit sat back as she thought for a moment.
That will take some time and dealing, but I can try to get some information.
One of my friends, Victoria Wilson, is at her adept posting at Coveton, Gregory said. She might be able to help. If shipping is bad, the Yamato shipping magus there is unlikely to offer information. It would make them look weak.
Relying on our clan is for the best. I'll have to see what Clearwind is offering first.
Yes, ma'am.
No troubles with the honor duels for the next few days?
None. I checked the next few since I would be here. As of today, there are no major problems.
Good. How was your day off for Clover's birthday?
It was nice. Thank you for allowing us the time to celebrate each of ours.
You've made my tasks here far easier by warning me of most potential troubles, Rudit smiled. If I was from a different clan, I'd still be very pleased to have you as an assistant. Giving you all a few days off a year is a minor thing in return.
The reports won't look like you were favoring us, because I always brief you ahead of time, Gregory said slowly.
Exactly. It also puts a greater showing on your foresight. You've consistently shown in your own reports and talks with Rafik that you can see a day ahead.
That's true.
My reports only ever mention the coming day, nothing further out.
Gregory bowed in his seat to her.
Thank you.
For you and the clan, Gregory. Now, with the report done, shall we get the Peaceful Fist out of the way?
Yes, ma'am, Gregory said, standing up. I'll get my car.
It was a peaceful day when Rudit called for tea. Nami brought a tea cart for them, setting up the table on the patio before taking her leave. Gregory poured for Rudit, then himself, taking a berry tart to have with his drink.
This is what most days are, Rudit said softly. Paperwork, paperwork, and more paperwork. It would be more, but as you saw, I sent half of it to Yukiko.
All the trade paperwork, Gregory said.
Precisely. She'll find any discrepancies far faster than I can. Let this be a lesson, Gregory. There is nothing wrong with delegating to those who can do a job better or faster. You are all here to assist me, so putting you to work in ways that best help me is what I should do. You and Jen are building goodwill with the locals, and Mindy has started to do so as well by healing after the duels. Roshana has handled most paperwork that deals with Lamaze for me, and Yukiko handles trade issues, as we've discussed. Ling and Clover are not exactly needed, but they have been helpful. I've allowed them greater leeway on their time, but will soon press them for more. We can't afford to have it look like no one is pulling their own weight. Do you have any suggestions on what I should task them with?
Rudit picked up a tart of her own to nibble while waiting for Gregory to answer.
Yuki handles trade paperwork and Buldoon, doesn't she?
Gregory asked.
Yes, well spotted. I left it out to see if you'd mention it.
Roshana is handling Lamazian information. You've approved of her making the stuffed dates as well.
A specialty item to build better goodwill with the ambassador here. That's how my notes worded it.
Mindy is keeping everyone in the embassy in good health, along with healing the guards and anyone else after the duels,
Gregory said.
All three of them have clearly defined areas.
Sipping her tea, Rudit waited for him to answer her question.
Jen and I are making the populace accept us without the usual troubles, and keeping the guards in top shape, too.
Gregory paused to take another bite of food. After a minute, Rudit cleared her throat.
You haven't answered the question, Gregory.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm still thinking about it. I'm sure helping with the vaults was useful, but now that that's done, they don't have the same purposes that the rest of us have. You have Clover still making alchemical healing items, but at best it's a stopgap measure for her. Ling has studied the enchantment in the office, so I assume you're going to ask her to make sure it's as good as it can be.
In a year, maybe. She's too young to even be examining that enchantment. If I have her touch it, it will be noted in the records. If she breaks it, that won't reflect well on her, me, or the clan.
I'd suggest having Ling go over any paperwork from the north. She's calm, analytical, and will do her best on it. I'm sure that we don't get much, but I did see a couple of reports on your desk.
And Clover? Gregory sat back as he exhaled slowly.
Have her go out into the city.
Really?
Rudy raised an eyebrow at him. Her accent will make it clear that she's from the Empire, but she could be a newcomer. If she dresses in things other than kimonos and just talks to people, she could get a good feel for the general populace. She's great at talking to people. After a few weeks, she'd be able to bring back the gossip from the city without trouble.
Rudy chuckled. I see. How would I sell that in my reports?
Clandestine observation of locals. Lighthand used it in a few of the cities he captured during the First War to know how the locals felt.
It's rumored that that was the method that soured him on the war, Rudy said. Gregory shook his head.
Not rumored. He flatly states it in one of his journals. I'm pretty sure that one is banned in the Empire.
It is. Most of them are. Such a great man being reduced to a footnote because he saw too much. He knew what would happen if he spoke his thoughts, so he journaled most of them instead.
I hope these words guide my descendants to be a better man than I. That was what he said about it, and it also explained why he journaled. I think he was right. By the time he realized the full scope of things, it was too late. It wasn't until the end of the First War that all Yurtiks had to be slaves. It had been the warriors at first, and while he disliked it, he accepted it as a matter of necessity to stop them from taking up arms again.
Correct, but let's stop there, Rudit said. We're not inside with a ward to guard us, even if my resonance doesn't feel anyone trying to spy on us at the moment.
Yes, ma'am, but I would sell it, as I said. At worst, they'd think you're foolish. At best, she'll bring back things we'd not otherwise hear.
Passable. And it does give her something that's hers to accomplish. I'll look at instituting it after my day's off.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you considered who will be your assistant?
Yuki, Gregory said. I've grasped enough of what Makar does to know that she'd excel at that for me.
That is true, but you should choose another for the second day.
I'd think Ling would do well in that regard.
Interesting. Ling would have been my choice after Yukiko as well. Why?
She's logical, calm, and is very organized. Jen has her other duties, as does Mindy. Roshana would work, but she's been spending her mornings at the harbor, and I don't want to take her away from that. Clover, while I love her to death, is very excitable. She could do it, but she wouldn't have any enjoyment in the task.
Rudy chuckled as she set her empty cup down. Refill my cup, please. You aren't wrong in your assessment of Clover. If there is one thing that she truly excels at, it's making everyone around her smile. The fact that she made it through the academy with that level of enthusiasm is a wonder.
Ling helped her with that. And then the clan,
Gregory said softly as he poured for Rudit.
I can still recall how sad she looked when she thought she'd have no friends around her.
Maybe Lightshield told Dia and Bishop? It would explain why they've been together since their apprentice year.
It would. He could see further than I can.
He was an elder, Gregory. It makes sense that he could. When you become a master, you'll see further than you can now. It'll be the same when you reach grandmaster and elder. Power matters, no matter how much we wish it didn't at times.
I can't refute that, Gregory chuckled as he refilled his own cup. I can see further into the future now than I could as an apprentice.
Exactly. Lightshield also mentioned that the spirit path helped him refine his foresight. It's a good thing that you also follow the peaceful fist. Gregory thought about Lightshield's last lesson for him, about how resonance could guide him in seeing the future, and he grew somber.
Yes, he did mention that to me.
We don't mourn the dead. We mourn for ourselves, Rudit said softly. It is we who feel their loss in our lives. It's possible his soul will come back around. Not all do, but some have been known to. It's why we wait for Aether, because if any soul was going to come back, it would be him. Well, him and the other gods. She looked into the distance. What must the world have been like when they walked beside us? We have no records of it. The elves might have something, but they've never shared with us, as far as we know. Only the Emperor would really know if they have.
I'd like to think the world would be a better place, Gregory said. One where everyone could live happily. The old artwork and myths of Aether hinted that he was equal in how he treated everyone, no matter if they were human, elf, yurtic, dwarf, or anything else.
I'm sure the Emperor will welcome him back with open arms, Rudit said dryly.
As all who praise his name should, Gregory said softly.
Yes, but when do people in power accept another over them?
Never.
Exactly, Gregory. That's why we'll stand ready as his shield to guard him until those who doubt can accept him again.
Chapter 29.
Enjoy the meal,
Gregory said, giving his wives kisses as they left for breakfast.
We don't want to break the tradition of the embassy,
Yukiko said.
You'll fill us in later?
Jen asked.
Since you and Mindy have your duties with the honor duels, yes.
I'm glad we set up to postpone them tomorrow,
Mindy said.
We all want to be here to see Verka and Ragnar again,
Roshana said.
Come to the office at 10th bell,
Gregory reminded them.
Spirit Lotus will be here just before the bell chimes.
Most of his wives headed for the dining room while he and Yukiko went to the ambassadorial offices. The guards about to head off shift for breakfast saluted them as they passed. Gregory and Yukiko both saluted the men back. It was odd to step into Makar's office and not see him behind the desk. It was even weirder when Yukiko took that spot and gave him a smile. Gregory stopped at the desk inches from her, just staring into her bright cyan eyes.
Yes, dearest?
Yukiko asked.
Just thinking of how much I love you, my heart.
Yukiko's smile was bright. Leaning in, she gave him a chaste kiss before taking her seat at the desk.
I love you, my heart. I'll send breakfast in as soon as it arrives.
Peaceful fist after breakfast, Gregory said.
Of course. We have to keep training.
Basil brought breakfast for them. It was one of the days that he and Hans pulled page duty for the office. Gregory looked over the paperwork Rudit had left out for him. None of it would take long to get through. He was sure she could have finished it all, but was likely testing him. Rudit hadn't tested any of them for a while, so he'd been expecting something. Yukiko came in for the peaceful fist after they'd eaten, the pair flowing through the katas with ease. Everything felt calm and peaceful as their meditation came to an end. Yukiko told him how Makar had left paperwork for her, and he'd laughed since Rudit had done the same for him. They chatted for a few minutes before Yukiko returned to her desk to get things finished before Spirit Lotus arrived. Gregory did the same. He focused on the forms to make sure everything was in order, not wanting to give Rudit something to be displeased with.
Ambassador, you have a guest. Ambassador Spirit Lotus is here to see you,
Yukiko said formally, entering the office a couple of minutes before the 10th bell.
Please send her in,
Gregory smiled as he stood up. Yukiko stepped out, sending the elf into the office without her. Spirit Lotus looked amused when she came in. She'd been invited by Gregory and had made sure she could spend a few hours at the embassy.
Ambassador Petit, how does the title suit you?
Awkwardly, but I do the best I can, Gregory said warmly as he went around to the sitting area. Please sit. My wives and the tea will be here shortly.
You asked me to visit, but you never explained the reason, Spirit Lotus said. I did clear a few hours so we could talk if required.
I have been hoping to hear about Toja's time with the elves, Gregory said. We all have been. We can't use the enchantment on the office, but we're willing to risk some people spying on us being told. If you'd be willing to accept it being known you told us, that is.
Spirit Lotus sat back before she nodded slowly.
Setting me as the one trying to corrupt the young Magi with falsehoods? I'm fine with that. Toja knows that he can never enter the woods again.
But before my wives arrive, I was remiss in telling you about Nightsong, Gregory said. I thought I'd do what was once requested and explain my meeting with her.
Spirit Lotus smiled brightly.
Wonderful. I was going to ask about her.
Jen, Yukiko, and myself were gifted armor made by her when we arrived at her compound.
Yukiko let the others in just as Gregory was finishing his story. They stayed quiet as they took seats and laid out tea and snacks. Spirit Lotus gave them smiles, but kept most of her attention on Gregory's tale.
She showed us just how foolish it would be to ever upset an elf with plants nearby,
Yukiko said when Gregory finished.
The Academy doesn't have much for the younger Magi to read about your people. I did look for something after our meeting with Nightsong.
That isn't surprising. Toja would not want more of his past to be known, Spirit Lotus said. It is good to see you all again. Pity that Jen and Mindy aren't here, but duty does take precedence.
I've brought some of my family's dates if you'd like some,
Rishana offered, gesturing to the dates on the tray of food.
Thank you, Spirit Lotus picked one up to sample it.
After she finished, she nodded slowly.
You know the recipe? How delightful. These are very nice for someone at your level of aether. Have you looked at how to strengthen them for later?
We're working on it,
Clover cut in.
If you succeed, let me know, please.
Of course,
Rishana said.
Since everyone is here and I've heard how Nightsong is doing, let me tell you a story. It's one that my mother told me. If you don't know, every elf is infused with aether. That isn't true for the offspring we have with others, but every full-blooded elf is blessed. With the blessing, all of us live far longer than most others. And like Magi, the stronger our blessing, the longer we live. My mother would have been a sage, as your empire views things.
My condolences,
Yukiko said as she poured tea.
Thank you. She was young when Toja visited our realm. None of his peers are still alive. The length of life of someone who reaches his stage of power is longer than even our eldest. The debate of how he grew so fast is something many people have had since he took the throne of Welton and made an empire out of it.
Everyone settled back into their seats with tea and snacks, all of them intent on what Spirit Lotus had to say.
But that was after he visited us. When he came to us, he wasn't even a war leader in Welton. He was just another blessed human looking to better grow his aether.
Spirit Lotus paused to sip her tea.
If we'd only known,
she trailed off, looking into the distance.
Everything for the next few thousand years would change,
Rishana said.
Would any of us be here if your people didn't help him?
Spirit Lotus laughed, sipping her tea.
That is well asked. Most don't think of how different the present would be when they think of those what-ifs. Your connection to the spirit path is showing with that question.
We practice the peaceful fist, Ling said. Even if the spirit path isn't embraced in the Empire, we have found our way.
There are reasons why it isn't seen as viable, and you need only look at the top to know why. Toja found the blending of paths with us. Most of the powerful old Magi did. Lytanth stayed with us for a few years, but then he went on to visit other kingdoms to expand his view of aether. I'll get lost in tangents if I don't stay focused. You'll find that trouble in a few centuries, too.
I look forward to it,
Yukiko smiled.
Toja studied with a few of our people, but my family were the ones who taught him how to best blend body and spirit. The peaceful fist you practice, because of Lighthand, is close to what we do. Ours is called the Calming Hand.
Gregory jerked slightly, but coughed as if that was what caused him to move.
Sorry, I swallowed wrong.
He set his cup down and coughed some more before wiping his eyes.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Please, go on.
Spirit Lotus stared at him for a long moment before she did.
The Calming Hand is said to have been taught to us by Aether himself. It is similar to the Peaceful Fist, but also different. Lytan took portions of the Calming Hand when he crafted his own variation of it.
Oh, can we see it?
Clover asked excitedly.
Not today, but maybe one day, Spirit Lotus laughed. It would take up our time today if we did.
Right. Sorry,
Clover mumbled.
It's all right, sweet one,
Ling murmured, hugging Clover.
I want to see it too, but we can wait.
While he stayed with us, Toja was polite but detached,
Spirit Lotus said, pulling the conversation back on track.
Mother talked about how he was coolly polite but never friendly. She didn't see the real him, not until he had his incident. It was a few years after arriving, and he was talking of leaving to find his own place in the world. It seemed far too soon to Mother, but most humans who came to the realm were quicker to move on than we thought they should be.
Shaking her head, Spirit Lotus coughed.
A delegation from one of the Yurtic kingdoms came to learn from us. With Toja being ready to move on, my family brought the delegation in to speak with them. We had the space for them, and had always had good relationships with the Yurtics.
Even then? Gregory asked softly. He hated them even back then.
I don't know if it was hatred. Mother only said that Toja was dismissive toward them until the prodigy of the group asked Toja to spar with her. That is when things went badly. Toja was prideful. He learned far quicker than most, and with our help was quickly growing powerful. None around his age could match him, until Princess Rainblade fought him. I don't have the skills to tell you as Mother told me, but it was a fight that neither would back down from. Both needed healing afterward, but Toja lost. For all his power and skill with his magic, she defeated him. He left the moment he'd been healed, and he refused to speak to her when she asked to meet him afterward. Rumors of him besting and killing most Yurtics who fought him trickled back to us, but we just prayed to Aether he would find his way. Then we heard of Welton's fall. That was when we feared what he had cultivated in his heart.
What are his magics?
Clover asked.
No one talks about them, but your family must know.
Of course, Spirit Lotus said.
She hesitated, as all of them suddenly felt the presence of Aether at the patio doors. A few seconds later, another appeared in the shadows near them.
I thank you for listening to me, Acting Ambassador. I'm sure that Glowstone will be in touch in time. It isn't much, but even a single Spirit Lotus a decade is a treasure. My assistant will bring the paperwork over in a few days. Aether's guard has the chance to earn much with this deal.
I'm honored to have been able to work out the roughest agreement with you, Ambassador. Please, to make it easier on me and my helpers, will you outline the basics again?
Gregory asked, playing into how sorry he was.
Very well. Spirit Lotus sighed in exasperation. My family will sell a single flower to your clan once per decade, starting in 2 years. The favors owed to my family will be held until we have need of them. As for the monetary compensation, that is in this paperwork.
She placed a single page on the table.
If Glowstone refuses, well, I'd lose all respect for her.
Standing up, Spirit Lotus placed her palms together in front of her heart, then bowed to them.
If you will see me out.
Right this way,
Ling said. Everyone but Yukiko and Gregory left with Spirit Lotus. The pair sat to discuss the paper left for them. Yukiko did most of the talking about the trade deal. Gregory did ask a question or two, and after a few minutes, the spies left them alone. Gregory sat back, exhaling roughly.
That was a lot to think about.
Yes, and this deal she is using to cover things, it is generous. Bishop will have a leverage point, as the few sages will want the flower. Even the Emperor might want it. If he does, Bishop can use it to garner favor. It'll be expensive for the clan, but anything that buys us time is worth the cost.
She leaned against him.
Now, tell me about your coughing.
I know the calming hand. I remember it clearly. It's far more defensive than the peaceful fist. There were very few attack katas in it.
Because you made it,
Yukiko murmured.
Light Hand must have added more attacks into his because he knew he'd need it.
Probably. I know there's another thread to it. I had a vision of Krog, Vera, and Aether all working on variations of the Peaceful Fist before, but it was too brief to realize how different it was. I think the Peaceful Fist is Aether's and Krog's combined.
We can ask Ragnar tomorrow. We can spend time meditating with the Peaceful Fist with them. That won't be viewed badly, especially if it's after I spar with him. We only need to use the office if we want to discuss sensitive things. I was shocked she cut off telling us as she did.
No one talks about his magics,
Gregory said softly.
Maybe it's one of the things he's clamped down on. We know he has physical enhancement, at least, but maybe he's a dual affinity and has kept that quiet.
Perhaps,
Yukiko said.
We need to work on our reports of the meeting. Give me a moment to check on things and I'll come back.
Gregory stopped her from getting up to give her a quick kiss.
Thank you, Yuki.
She gave him a dazzling smile.
You're welcome, my soul.